Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name's Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm so glad to welcome all of you, wherever you are this morning, in the Spirit of Christ as we worship together. I hope that you will take a moment to let us know that you're with us. If you register your attendance, you can see the link alongside the video in the chat, and if you'll copy that link and paste it into your browser, that will take you right to the registration form. And all along the way throughout the service, there will be links and comments in that chat section and opportunities for you to interact with each other and have a sense of community as we gather together for worship this morning. I have just a few announcements for us today. Today is our turn-in Sunday for our Faithful Giving campaign, and if you are a member of the church, you received a letter in the mail a couple of weeks ago with a giving card in it. We have many folks who are not members of the church but give faithfully every week, and we are so grateful for all of the generosity of this worshiping community. And if you'd like to let us know an estimate of what you plan to give to the ministries of West End in 2021, you can do that through the website. You can do that by sending an email to Cindy Seamer or mailing your card back into the church. We already have 118 estimates already turned in, and we're off to a great start. So we're grateful for the generosity of this congregation. A few other announcements. Next week at 1 o'clock, we will be live streaming our annual town hall meeting. It will be live streamed at 1 o'clock, and then after that, it will be available for you to watch at any time, just to get caught up on some of the things that we're celebrating and announcing in that town hall meeting. We'll give you an update on our finances for this year and look ahead to the budget of 2021. We'll be sharing with you some recent changes that our ministry table made to our wedding policy and celebrating that together. We will be celebrating all sorts of ministries that have taken place during this time of pandemic and how the Spirit has continued to work in and through this congregation, and then looking ahead to what's next in 2021. So we hope you'll join us online, live stream next Sunday at 1 o'clock for the town hall. We have ministries as we move toward Advent. We're collecting Christmas gifts for children in foster care in Nashville. And hopefully there's a link with some more information coming up on the chat right now as we speak. And then the first Sunday of Advent, November 29th at 4 o'clock, we'll have an event in the parking lot where you can come pick up an Advent wreath kit to have an Advent wreath in your home. And then also to stay and do some singing together outside around the church, which is something that we'll record and share as part of our candle lighting service this year. So there'll be information about that and an opportunity to RSVP because we do need to know how many folks we are going to have. And finally, we just wanted to let you know that West End has set aside some funds to help pay for counseling for those of you who are educators or medical workers. And if you find yourself in need of some extra emotional support, if you would let us know, Erin Racine is helping to coordinate that. You can send her an email and she'll give you more information about that. Finally, we find ourselves this morning at the beginning of Matthew 25. It's a chapter full of parables, talking about how we as the people of Christ are called to live in this moment, in whatever moment we are called to live. We live to the fullest in Christ. So let us enter into this time and worship the God who has called us here.
Thank you. prepare our hearts, O God.
We long to hear your voice.
Prepare our minds, O God.
We turn our thoughts toward you.
Prepare our bodies, O God.
We lift our hands in praise.
As we prepare to worship God with all our beings, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that too often we are not ready. We are not ready for the call to love, to serve, and to follow. We make too many excuses. It's too hard. It doesn't affect me. I don't have time. We find it easier to fall asleep, to give into apathy and passivity, rather than to stand ready. We slip into complacency, and we go along to get along. We turn away from those crying out for help and for justice. Forgive us, O God. Have mercy on us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us hands willing to help. Break our hearts, Lord, for what breaks yours. Move us to compassion and to action. Help us to be ready when you call. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. I invite you now to greet those in the chat on the live stream or Facebook Live. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Gospel, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise flashed of the oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look here, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up, trembled their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better to go to the dealer and buy some for yourself. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Keep awake, therefore you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all of the children to come a little closer to where I am this morning. It's so good to have a few extra minutes with you today, and I hope that you've enjoyed the beautiful weather this weekend and gotten some time to play outside. I want to tell you a story. It's a pretend story. One of the ways that Jesus taught his disciples was to tell stories. And sometimes they were pretend stories. He called them parables. But there was always something in the story that helped people learn about God. So I'm going to tell you a pretend story, a parable. Once upon a time, there were two sisters, Amelia and Rose. And they shared a bedroom in their house. And they were very messy. Their room was a big old mess. And so their parents came in on a Saturday morning and said, "Now, girls, we want you to clean your room today. We're going to go outside and work in the yard, and we want you to get this room cleaned up." So Amelia and Rose got up and started to clean. And the clock tick, tock, tick, tock, and an hour went by. And Rose started to look around, and she looked out the window and didn't see her parents anywhere. So she decided she didn't want to clean anymore. And she just started playing with some of her toys in her room. Amelia wanted to keep cleaning the room because that's what her parents had told her to do. And they had a little bit of a fuss and argued about it. But finally, Amelia just said, "Well, I'm going to do what Mom and Dad told me to do and keep cleaning." And Rose just played around and did nothing. What do you think happened when their parents came back and they saw Amelia doing what she was supposed to do and Rose was not doing what she was supposed to do? The parable that Maggie just read that you heard on the video is sort of like that. That there are some people doing what they're supposed to do and other people not doing what they're supposed to do when they're in this time of waiting. So I think one of the things Jesus wants to teach us is that it's important always, no matter what, to be doing the things we're supposed to do the things he taught us to do, to love other people, to be kind, to be generous, to share, to pray, to read our Bibles. Even if we think nobody else in the whole world is watching or will ever know, Jesus wants us to do those things we're supposed to do. Let's pray together. Gracious God, help us to love you so much that we want to pray and we want to do the things that you want us to do, even if nobody else is watching, even if no one will ever know the things that we do for you. Thank you so much for loving us, and help us to love other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. I have a confession to make. I'm a little discombobulated this morning. I'm having trouble keeping my thoughts straight. It's been a bit of a stressful week. For those of you who have been invested in this election, emotionally or in whatever ways, it's been a long week of waiting for results. In a normal election year, people go to the polls on the first Tuesday of November, and usually by the time we go to bed on that Tuesday night, a winner has been declared. But not this year. not with us being in the middle of a pandemic and so many mail-in ballots that needed to be counted and all, you know the story. And it was just an up and down roller coaster all week long as we waited and waited and waited, and it was delayed and delayed and delayed. How did you handle the delay? And how do we continue to handle the little bit of uncertainty that remains on how these results will be lived out? I know it's nowhere near as important as what Jesus was talking about in this parable of the 10 bridesmaids. But I couldn't help but feel a connection between what we were all experiencing in our waiting and in the delay and what these bridesmaids in this parable were experiencing. Now, to be sure, what Jesus is talking about in this parable has eternal consequences. Our election results are just related to this little blip of time in our lifetimes. Important to us, yes, but in the grand scheme of things, nothing compared to God's cosmic purposes and truth that Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about in this parable is the second coming, the return of Christ, the resolution of all things, the redemption of the world and all of creation through God's final ultimate purposes. He's been talking with his disciples in the chapter before this one about his impending death and his resurrection. And then he lays out before them what it will be like at the end of the age when he returns. And then he begins to offer these parables in the 25th chapter to teach these disciples, to teach all Christians how to live in the in-between time as we wait. Because you see, these first century Christians were beginning to experience a longer and longer delay. And as Matthew began to put his gospel together, he took these parables of Jesus and put them together in order to send a word to the church. These early Christians thought that Jesus was going to come back any day. There was an urgency and an excitement and a commitment to living out the teachings of Jesus because it could all be resolved tomorrow. The end of the Roman Empire, the end of the world as we know it, and we need to be ready and doing what God calls us to do. But then those first generation of Christians began to die off, and Christ hadn't returned yet. And there was a delay and a delay and a delay. And some Christians began to lose faith and turn away from Christ. Others began to give in to temptations and allow the concerns and the pleasures of this world to distract them from their life in Christ. And so Matthew collected these parables of Jesus as a word of urgency, of reminding the church who it is that we're waiting for and what we need to be doing in the meantime. So the first parable we will consider is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. For the next 3 weeks, this week and the 2 weeks after, we're going to be digging into these parables in chapter 25 that are speaking to this same question. How do we live in the meantime between the life and teachings, death and resurrection of Christ, and the final redemption of all creation for which we are yearning and groaning? So these bridesmaids, we don't know a lot about first century weddings, except that perhaps these bridesmaids had a particular role to play. They were the ones who went out and waited for the arrival of the bridegroom. And whenever he arrived, it was their job to light their lamps and have a parade and go down the street and start the party and escort the bridegroom to the wedding feast. So in the parable, there are 10 bridesmaids, and they've got their lamps. They're all ready. But the bridegroom, for some reason that's not explained, is delayed. And so they all fall asleep. There's no judgment on that. They all just fall asleep. But then the bridegroom shows up at a very late hour. And that's when we see the difference. There are 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 foolish bridesmaids. The wise bridesmaids have brought extra oil, so that no matter when the bridegroom showed up, they'd be ready to light their lamps and escort him to the wedding feast. The foolish bridesmaids brought only enough oil for their own timeline. They were only prepared for what their expectations were. And so when the bridegroom shows up and they all start to get their lamps ready, the wise ones have theirs lit because they have extra oil, but the foolish ones have no oil. Clearly, in this parable, we're supposed to identify with the wise bridesmaids. We're supposed to see what it is about them that we can learn. How can we be more like them? And yet, I have to be honest, there's something about these wise bridesmaids that bothers me a little bit. Here they are with their friends who don't have any oil. And their friends turn to them and say, "We don't have any oil. Please help us share some of your oil with us so we can all have oil and make it to the feast." And the wise bridesmaids refuse. They won't share. They say, "If we give our oil to you, there won't be enough for us." I mean, that seems to me a little bit selfish. Doesn't Jesus say to do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Aren't we called as the followers of Christ to share what we have and to be generous? It's a tough question that this parable doesn't really answer. But the best answer I can come up with, and maybe you've come up with another one, but the best one I can come up with is that the oil represents something that cannot be shared. As much as these wise bridesmaids might want to share it, perhaps they can't. Maybe the oil represents something that we have to do for ourselves. I thought about this yesterday. David and I were getting ready to have some lunch, and he got a phone call that his aunt was in the hospital in Murfreesboro and was probably not going to make it through the day. And so he wanted to get to Murfreesboro as quickly as he could. And so I was fixing our lunch, and the thought occurred to me, I wish I could just eat his lunch for him so he could go ahead and get on the road. But I couldn't do that. I could eat all the food I wanted to, but there was no way that that was going to help him. And maybe the same is true for some of our spiritual practices and our spiritual lives. Each one of us has to nourish our own relationship with God. Each one of us is called to keep a supply of oil, a well that we return to of prayer and giving and generosity and compassion. Each one of us has to do what we can to live into Jesus' commandments. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, to grow more deeply in love with God and with neighbor. To live that life that Jesus laid out in the Sermon on the Mount, 3 chapters early on in Matthew's gospel. To do all that we can to grow into being more merciful, to being peacemakers, to loving not only our neighbors and ourselves, but our enemies. To go inside our rooms and pray in private, no matter if anybody's watching or anybody knows. To give alms to the poor, to care for the sick and the lowly. And it's not just something we do once. It's a life that we build, like the wise man who built his house on a rock. It's one thing to be merciful once, or to make peace in one situation, but to be merciful for a lifetime. To build a life of peacemaking takes a lot of prayer and a lot of oil in our lamps. So Jesus is telling his followers in this parable, keep oil in your lamps. Continue doing all of the things I have taught you to do. Continue living the life I have called you into, because you never know when you are going to need to shine that light brightly in the world. One of the things this parable reminds us of is where our hope really lies. In the 21st century, sometimes we lose sight, or at least I know I do. I lose sight of this vision of the second coming of Christ, or this vision of the final redemption of all of the world. But our scriptures remind us that we are people who are waiting for that day. The prophets tell us we're waiting for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We're waiting for that day when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb and a little child shall lead them. We're waiting for that day when every tear shall be dry and there will be no more mourning and no more crying on God's holy mountain. We're waiting for that day when there is no more poverty, no more injustice, no more exclusion, no more hatred, no more mistrust. This parable reminds us that day is coming. And our job is to keep oil in our lamps so we're ready and preparing and helping to usher it in. And like those five wise bridesmaids, we don't have to be anxious. We can rest even as we wait, because we know that we are ready, and we know the one who is coming is love. Amen.
I invite you to join me in the affirmation of faith. It can be found on page 883 if you happen to be looking at your United Methodist hymnal, and it is a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer request with the pastoral team, we meet every Monday, and you can go to the Contact Us on our website and leave your prayer request there. Please be sure to let us know if you would like for that to remain confidential. And we also lift up these West End families in prayer. Mary Haynes Ferris Lynch passed away on October 31st. There was a private family burial service in Pulaski, Tennessee, on Saturday. Among her survivors are West End members George and Amy Lynch and Henry and Haynes Lynch. Our prayers are also with the family of Dorothy Wynn Dot Biasi, who passed away on November 4th. There will be a private memorial service held later. Among her survivors are West End members Jean and Jim Howe and Elizabeth Sam. We also want to give our love and our prayers to David Dillon at the loss of his Aunt Christine Dillon. She passed away yesterday, November 7th, and services are pending. Today's prayer was written by member and congregational care intern, Sarah McCain. Prepare us now, O loving God, for this time of prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, what a season we are in. We have been stretched and pulled in ways we could not anticipate. Our nervous systems have hummed in overdrive, carrying anxiety we have not experienced before. Our mental marathons leaving us exhausted. We are tired and worn, reminded every day how far our reality is from the world as you intended it. And yet we are not alone, and we have never been alone. You are here with us in every moment, closer than our breath, holding us gently, loving us more completely than we could ever love ourselves. We see the leaves, each uniquely beautiful, falling from the trees, and we are reminded, Creator God, of the love you have for the whole world, but also of the particular love you have for each one of us individually. For those who are joyful this morning, remind us that you are the ultimate source as we rejoice. For those who are confused, worried, or scared, send your peace and overwhelm us with your presence among us. For those who are angry, hurt, and long past impatient, may the wheels of justice come, although they creep so painfully slow. May your righteousness keep our fury company as we trust that the healing and reconciliation of all creation back into yourself is a task that you will never abandon. And in all things, open our eyes to where our faithfulness to becoming the people you have called us to be. May we be the answer to the cries of our neighbors, that we may be your hands and feet in the places where we live. Infuse us with your spirit. Fill us with your hope. Slow us down, so that we may breathe in your joy, the joy you share with the Holy Spirit and with your Son, Jesus Christ, as we pray the prayer that he has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite Fern Ritchie for our ministry moment.
Good morning. As Jesus concluded his Sermon on the Mount, he left us a powerful image of wise building. Listen now for Jesus' message. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. West End is my rock. This church has made a difference in my life. From wonderful spiritual formation opportunities such as Disciple Bible Study and my beloved Cokesbury Sunday School class, memorable outreach moments including Room in the Inn, participating in the Sunny Day Club, this church has shaped me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. on a very personal level. West End has been there for me in difficult times, bringing the bread and cup to me when I was hospitalized, praying with me, holding me in a loving space so that I could heal. I know you now are thinking of your own West End moments, for West End is your rock as well. Last week, we remembered the saints who have gone before us. They, like the wise man who built his house on a rock, established the sure foundation for our church. Today, it's our turn to estimate our giving for the year 2021 so that our foundation continues solid and robust. In order to live out our mission, welcoming all of God's children into a community of love and grace, receiving and witnessing to God's hope and healing for all, and discovering and using our Spirit-given strengths to work for God's justice, peace, and reconciliation, we must nurture and support our foundation. We must be the wise people of the Scripture who built their houses upon the rocks. Completing an estimate of giving helps the church plan for the upcoming year so that we can continue to be a rock for our members and guests, our community, our world. No estimate is too small. You can complete the estimate card you received in the mail or go to the church website Give tab. If you're able, please consider increasing your estimate for 2021. Carol mentioned that today is turn-in Sunday, but we will continue to receive estimates throughout the end of the year and into early 2021. Please prayerfully consider how, through your estimate of giving, you can be part of West End's foundation going forward. God is calling us to love, to serve, to follow. We do this through relationships with one another, by being in community, this community of faith, West End United Methodist Church. Thank you for your generosity and for being the sure foundation of West End. And now we invite you to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply these gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you.
song of joy and a song filled with hope to remind us that we are marching into God's future, a future where there is peace and justice and love for all. May we keep our lamps of hope burning, and may our lives shine the loving light of our Christ wherever we go. And may we know the love, the peace that Christ offers this day. Amen.